Hello, and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. It's me, Ben, this time, and I'm here with Matt.
Hello!
So, Matt, you're here to convince me about something. What are you trying to convince me about?
Well, I'm trying to convince you that historical wargaming is valid, interesting, and fun. Have you gone to sleep already? What? Honestly, kids these days don't know they've been born.
What a great time to come back.
Oh, hello.
I've got Dave here as well.
Now you're in trouble. Dave, we've just started an episode of Fool's Daily to discuss with young Benjamin why historical wargaming is valid and relevant. Are you not a Benjamin?
I'm not.
Are you just a Ben?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit weird.
Well, of course it is.
Well, I know that.
I was saying why I found it a bit boring. Because I prefer the sort of more imaginative sort of, I don't know.
Made up?
Yeah, but I like that. And we spoke on a previous episode about 40k a bit, and I said about how I didn't like Imperial Guard, and you know, I like the Imperium, I like that idea in 40k, and like it taking bits from history, but when it just becomes something that's very similar to something that's been or is happening, it's, I don't know, I just find it a bit boring. I want to use it as escapism. Now, and obviously I'm not a Roman soldier or a, you know, whatever.
Oh my god, you've just completely destroyed my belief system.
I know, well,
you're not a Roman soldier.
You couldn't tell, could you? Oh, that's the thing.
But, I always imagine you in a leather skirt.
Nice. But, yeah, I just don't know. I just don't find it too interesting. I'd rather... I don't know. But why is it interesting? Why do you find it interesting? I mean, I have some ideas, but... Sell me on it. Come on. There's two of you now.
Because it is interesting. Because it's history. You learn stuff. You read
books. You sound like a school teacher right now, which makes most people turn off, surely.
Well, it'd scare a hell of a lot of people if I was a school teacher.
That is quite a scary thought, yeah.
There's probably some law or something that says I'm not allowed to be. But for me, why I like historical gaming is exactly that. It's not necessarily the bit that you get into playing on the table, although, you know, the diversity of what you can play, both in period, in scale of conflict, but it's the stuff that you end up doing around it. And, you know, to a degree, I suppose similar things exist in non-historical stuff because, you know, to use the 40K example, there's all the 40K fiction around, you know, the sort of the canon of, like you say, the Imperium and the backstory. Well, I like that about historical gaming. And do you know what? It's not made up. It's stuff that's actually happened that was kind of real.
Yeah, certainly that. There's that. There's the whole investigation and learning about what happened and how different troops types interacted and worked. And then there's always that element of, well, can I try and, you know, turn the tables?
Mm.
I mean, you know, can the Romans stop the elephants coming over the? Over the mountains and all that sort of things. There's that sort of element as well as, you know, can you book history?
Yeah,
can you make decisions? Yeah, the what ifs. It's an extra element to it. And to a certain extent, Ben, if your history teachers have sort of tried to teach history from this point of view, maybe it'd be more exciting.
Hmm.
Possibly. I mean, it's not that I don't like history, but I don't know if I feel like I want to be the one playing it out.
I mean, so listen, I think you've got to have a pretty deep interest in the period you're actually playing in. Because certainly, it's probably going to get heretical here, but I'm not a massive Napoleonic fan. It's just not a period of history that grips me.
Mm. So, I sit in the same camp. It's not a, and yeah, you're absolutely right. With the true camera card carrying beardy Aaron sweater wearing top, you know, the grognards, if you like, of wargaming. That, you know, that's the staple period. But yeah, I mean, it's not the most interesting period for me that's available.
It's never gripped me. I mean, ancients and then into the more modern theatres of combat are where I sort of like the historical gaming. But the thing is, there is, as Matt said, there is so much variety out there. You can't really say the same with the fantasy and the sci-fi. because you have got whole periods and the whole clashes, and everyone reacts differently.
I would say there was just as much diversity in fantasy and sci-fi, though.
Yeah, but you would be wrong.
But that, surely I can't be wrong. There's infinite, it's an infinite diversity of what there can be for fantasy and sci-fi, whereas history has been, so you've only got, there's a finite amount of things you can do.
Should we talk about the infinite choices? Can we talk about the infinite choices in fantasy? Dwarves, orcs, elves, trolls, all of the stuff that probably hinges out.
You do them
out.
In different styles, and you do them copying different ways of history, as you are talking about. Fantasy and science fiction more, which is more I prefer. There's lots of different styles of that.
That there are, but from a gaming point of view. And it may be contentious to say it, but most of those are grown out of actual historical periods because they borrow, whether it's styles of warfare or in the case of weather fiction, things like the fiction that came out of them will borrow kind of their background from actual historical tribes and the like.
Yeah, but then it can become a mashing of everything rather than just you limiting to what time periods should probably be fighting each other and stuff like that. Do you see what I mean?
Well, kind of, but I don't necessarily agree because of your inherent wrongness.
It's always the best argument in your repertoire.
I feel so because a big barbarian-y type army is, you have the option to play that, whether it's kind of, Celts and Picts and the like through ancients, but you've also then, it will take that up into a colonial period where, it's generally a large number of poorly trained troops. Well, that's whether it's a Skaven or an Orc and Goblin army, that's something that already exists in the historical bag of tools. But you can actually play it and not have to do all of the made-up elements of it.
I mean, generally that's why you'll see lots of ancient rule sets will have fantasy medieval sort of conversion to them. And the problem with them is always the magic system.
Yeah.
Because they've not been designed from within the game to have a magic system.
And here's a funny, magic's not real either.
Yeah, but that's the fun bit, gaming is escapism, in any games, game form, And as I said, I could easily quite go into a textbook to read about history. So, I don't know.
It's much more fun going down the club, playing a game with two people and having a pint. So that makes history fun.
I can do that pretending I'm an orc or something, and I don't know, I think that's slightly more interesting sometimes.
We dressed up as Romans would get less looks than you dressed up as an orc, but hey.
It's true.
Well, I don't know, if I dressed up as a Roman, I'd get some looks.
To be fair, Matt, you probably get looks anyway, don't you?
Yeah, generally, of dissent and disgust.
Here's a question, then. As a non-historical gamer myself, what would you suggest that I tried? As a first teasing into it, as it were. So not full-on with my beard.
Where's your gaming history from? Is it you're a GW core gamer, were you?
As with a lot of people, I started there.
But did you dabble in any of the specialist games at all?
I did over the years. I mean, it started with Second Ed 40K, so there was still Necromunda and all the other craziness going on at that point in time.
Did you play some Warmaster?
Nope.
But, okay.
See, this is the thing. I'm not so much a fantasy guy, more of a sci-fi guy.
I would probably think something along the lines of, Flames of War would be the most obvious easy transition, which is very 40k-esque.
Or Bolt Action.
Or that would be the other one that I'd throw in is Bolt Action, which is a sort of skirmishy type game, which would fit more that kind of sci-fi ethos.
Yeah.
Or something like Force on Force or one of the kind of the modern skirmishes.
I don't think Force on Force, which is something we will talk at another time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the easiest rule set to pick up straight off.
No, and the same is true of some of the stuff that Two Fat Lardies have put out.
Yes.
Which are great sets of rules, but are far more Kriegsspiel, free form in their structure. Yeah.
I would say Bolt Action would be where I would go for the sci-fi gamer that wanted to get into historicals as it stands now.
Yeah, I'd, having played my first game of that this evening or late this afternoon, I would definitely agree. And you can see, bearing in mind it's written by people that have come out of that heyday of 40K gaming as well. So there is kind of an understanding of the mentality of the gamers that they are servicing, if you like.
And it's by no means from, I've not played it, I own it and I've read it. From what I've seen, it's a decent rule set.
Well, certainly from my experience this afternoon, absolutely. And the core mechanics, although it kind of defeats the point of saying that Ben's wrong, you could easily then overlay those mechanics over. I mean, I'm looking at it within the historical remit of the mechanics work so well that actually for a modern skirmishing, it's probably far more accessible than Force on Forces.
Yeah, I would say so. So what you're saying is we need a Storm Bolter.
Yeah.
Now what you need to do is Storm Bolter action. And have a Captain America with it. I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, it's not historical, is it? I mean, then you're sort of wandering in the realms of, like, weird World War II, things like Dust Tactics and stuff, yeah, which kind of almost straddled the historical, non-historical.
See, but that's where I like it, because it's not historical, is it? It uses pieces of it, but it's not.
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of historical, but, yeah, it's going beyond that war.
Well, nobody actually did find a UFO, did they?
No.
And then, like...
Well, not that you're not in proof.
Or did they?
Oh, yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, does nobody... Nobody your club isn't a historical gamer, then, Ben, or... So you're not really exposed
people,
to
there are people that in my club actually play Bolt Action, but it's just, I don't know, that's not the people I play games with, as it were. So maybe I just need the right people to...
But there's no sort of like, you know, games. Ancient armies wandering around the tables and stuff?
No.
So that's the other thing. If you're not at a club that has a strong historical element to it, chances are you will never get introduced to the games. And to a certain extent, why would you be interested? If you know you've got all these other games that are out there that everybody's playing, if you're not introduced to them, you're not going to find them interesting or enjoyable.
It's true. As I said, maybe I just got to find the right person to show me through. So,
but do you not find yourself inspired? And going back to some of the discussions I've had with Mike, when you've watched a historical film, something like Band of Brothers, or a program of that ilk, have you never been even vaguely inspired to think, actually, that might be quite fun to game, that sort of thing?
No, not really.
Well, then you're a bloody idiot, and there's no side effect. Yeah.
And the other problem you've got to think, you know, is that I could just go play a video game with that, probably. I know. And I don't even like those sort of video games, so that's a really bad way of looking at it, but there we go.
This is beyond help, Dave.
It does appear to be that, doesn't it? You know? Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to give up, and I don't know what time we're at, but I'm guessing that it's as good a time to finish as any.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll find out. But, yeah. Well, thanks, guys. I've been Ben.
I've been Matt.
I've been Dave.
Bye.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.